Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and you at 617-779-7937. We got phone lines open all day, and we're hitting all four sports today. We got Bruins for you right now. Talking Celtics later on in the show. Of course, we'll get to the Patriots. Red Sox with a big press conference yesterday, but that was very much overshadowed by the drama over on Causeway Street between the Boston Bruins and Jeremy Swayman, their goaltender now. Details coming out. We had some details there from Cam Neely that we reacted to at the end of the show yesterday, Andy. I already know the direction that you're leaning in this. I know the direction that a lot of your Twitter followers are leaning on this, too. It's about two-thirds supporting the Bruins here as this standoff with Swayman has taken a turn now. I think it seemed like there was some dysfunction going on there all along. We can agree on this at the very least. It seemed like there was some dysfunction going on when we weren't getting direct leaks about all this stuff. Swayman goes on the podcast. Neely comes out yesterday. The agent responds, and we'll get to all of these responses and everything that was said, and we'll rehash it all for you here in the early going. Then you hear Elliot Friedman and the actual offers. Frank Saravelli had a article out today with more details on what the numbers are. And looking at it right now, it seems as though Jeremy Swayman is right in the sense that a $64 million offer was never given to him. And him and his agent, Louis Gross, said that today, or they said it yesterday. I guess Gross released a statement yesterday. And today we're finding out from various sources in the media now that the offer was closer to $7.75, not quite $8. So splitting hairs a little bit, but ultimately now,
a little bit?
Everything's out there. I mean, everything's out there. There's no mystery anymore. Both sides have decided to forego all the stuff you usually don't see in these negotiations, and it's all out on the table right now, and it seems like things are probably going to go towards a nasty divorce. That's where I am right now. I think Swayman's probably getting traded. That's how I think this ends. How do you think this ends?
I think it ends with him as a Boston Bruin, because I mean, if we're going to nitpick over $1.6 million, if that's the facts here, $64 million, 8 and 8, or 8 and 7.8, which is 62.4, $1.6 million is worth a press release for a guy who doesn't usually issue press releases and comments. I mean, there's a weird bitchiness here, but our morning show this morning had a guest, Ty Law.
Yes.
And I lived the life of a contract dispute between Ty Law, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots that got about as personal as you could ever hear.
I remember that.
I can't feed my family on Super Bowl rings. You lie to feed your family, like, back and forth. And then what happened? Well, Ty Law signed a contract, and the first question, so what'd you say to Bill? I said, what's up, Bill? Like, it looks like it's so destined for divorce, and it's so personal. And then sometimes you got the reality that sets in. Are the Bruins better with Jeremy Swayman? Yes.
Absolutely.
Is Jeremy Swayman better off in life with $64 million in his pocket? Yeah, he is. You know, it could be worse somewhere else. And he may get a little more money, but what if he sucks? What if the defense in front of him isn't as good? What if he doesn't have a goalie Bob to help him get through the tough times and all
no.
these things?
How's anyone ever stopped a puck without goalie Bob?
Ask you a personal question, which
ahead.
I think is a legitimate one.
By all means.
Would you rather make 8 years, $70 million and suck? All your stats, your numbers,
eight,
your record.
About, it's under like 8.9, something like that.
8 years and $64 million. And you live the life you've lived where you're pretty comfortable. You think you're going to be on a winning team. You think you're going to have good players in front of you. You actually like the coaching you get. Which would you... $6 million is nothing to sneeze at. I'm not saying it is.
It's definitely not.
But happiness, being content, though competing, you know, being on a team that competes for the points lead, that kind of thing. Which would you prefer?
I would probably prefer the other thing. But that implies, incorrectly, I think, that Jeremy
Swayman...
Because
I'm stupid!
No, not because you're stupid.
You called me stupid earlier.
I mean, you are stupid, but that's not why here. Jeremy Swayman, that implies that Jeremy Swayman feels all those things, feels all that love from Boston, feels all this love from the organization. And that's just not true. I mean, they took him to arbitration. He made $3.4 million, whatever it was last year, as their number one goalie, and he ate that. He did it, and he took it in, thinking, all right, well, at the very least, I'm going to get paid next time. They traded the other guy, and I'm going to get something that's at least market reasonable. Mm-hmm. And maybe he was asking for more than that to try and get him to come up. By the way, the whole thing the Bruins are saying about, wow, we were at 6-2, and we've now come up to 7-5. Like, oh, wow. Oh, sorry. That's really, now that you put it that way, it seems like you're much more forgiving here. 6-2 is embarrassing. That's an embarrassing offer. To be, like, crowing because you came up from a very insulting offer is, I think, one of many missteps that the Bruins have made here. But in terms of your hypothetical, I'd take the team with the good team, which, by the way, we don't know he's getting traded to a bad team either.
No,
by the
I'm
way.
Just
he
saying.
Get traded anywhere.
The grass isn't always greener, even if the cash is.
It's not. And I also think that in the end of that statement from the agent, they said, we're going to take a couple days and sit with this because they're emotional. You can tell. Jeremy Swayman, his agent's representatives, they're about had it up to here. And I think the same goes for the Bruins. They've had it with Swayman. They've had it with all this crap. They think they're being reasonable. Swayman thinks they aren't. What do you think? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Andy Hart, you are Team Bruins here.
Absolutely Team Bruins, and I did want to clarify just in case you have any wonder what is going on. So I wanted to look something up, so I not Googled it, whatever your phone searches with Swayman, and the Swayman page that pops up, his status is in red, contract dispute. So it doesn't say like unrestricted.
Is that on Google?
I don't, what is the search engine
Safari?
On your phone? Safari, I guess.
Oh, Safari.
But in red it says status, contract dispute.
Interesting.
Not caps. I don't want to exaggerate. Just in red. But so they are indeed factually, according to the internet, according to AI and science, in a significant contract dispute.
They have that whenever you Google anyone. Like if I look up Andy Hart, it's going to be like Andy Hart.
Contract dispute. Ken, did you hear that? We're in a contract dispute. I want a new co-host. This
something
host
along
one
those
sucks.
Lines. Hey, well, you know,
just
good
kidding.
Luck.
But like we've reached the point where he can't be ready for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was an interesting story on this angle because what we're all really debating, whether we're involved or not, whether you're Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, the agent, Swayman, is value, correct?
Right.
And what is fair value and what you're worth? And I thought the Boston Globe had a good story, Matt Porter, about value and all that and all the comps. And I think you're right. $6 million is kind of crazy.
I think insulting. I think that's an insulting
offer. I personally believe $10 million equally is crazy. So I think that's why I believe they can get it done, because I think both sides can settle on some. If it's really disputing 7.8 to 8.5 now, isn't that a bridge that's, I mean, a gap that's bridgeable? You can jump over it.
Like, I would say yes, it should be. It
unless it's gotten
be.
So personal that it's become, which I would hope it hasn't, because these are businessmen. And Jeremy Swayman, I would argue, you told me you went to business school at Maine,
mm-hmm.
or class. I don't know if it's school or class, whatever. You know everything. You know the cap is going up. You know inflation and all of these things. Well, isn't the first thing about business that it isn't personal? Like, if he's doing business, then do business.
Business is personal all the time, but yes.
It's not supposed to be, right?
I agree.
Especially when you have an agent.
Right.
That's supposed to be a layer of taking the personal out of it and creating a situation where it can be just business. But to me, this should be simple business. 6 was disrespectful. 10 was disrespectful. 7.8, oh, we're getting closer. 8.5, oh, we're getting closer. Find your number. I mean, is it really that hard to say 8.5 and 7.8? $8.15 million and we're done here?
Yeah. I mean, you think it would be, but it seems like that's a big problem. Here's why I'm Team Swayman. This is a big part of it. Elliot Friedman wrote this on Sportsnet. He said, until Monday, this is what I believe everything stood. Neely said he asked Swayman if the goalie wished to be a Bruin. The answer was a resounding yes. I'm under the impression Swayman always pushed for max term. After initially offering contracts of various length, the Bruins were satisfied with the answer and focused on 8 years. So they both agreed on the years. Despite that, the two sides remain far apart on salary, that this won't be solved unless player or team completely caves in or changes their mind. I've heard some softening of positions, but the gap was millions per season to start with. Gross's statement claims that prior to the media conference, the Bruins never got to $64 million. I think they were close, 60 to 62. Swayman and Gross probably aren't as annoyed about the number itself as they are about it being mentioned in the first place. I read what Neely said as this: we're going to 64 and no further, that's it. We will see. David Pastrnak pushed the Bruins farther than they wanted to go. Swayman saw that success, but he's restricted. Pastrnak was not. 2 weeks ago, I started to hear rumors of a possible trade. The Bruins wouldn't comment, but it was clear they told teams they weren't considering it and wanted to keep him. Again, we will see if anything's changed. Remember, other teams are allowed to speak to Swayman because he's an unsigned free agent. They know what he wants. That last part I want to circle back to, but it was that thing in the middle there. What Neely said was, we're going to 64, no further, that's it. And that right there was the first time they'd ever made that offer. The first time they ever agreed to come up to $8 million and get it to 64, they did in a very public setting, in a press conference, done to make the guy look like an a-hole. And I think that's, if I'm Jeremy Swayman, I'm saying, bleep you, trade me now. I don't want to play for you anymore. That's because that's dirty. I think that's a dirty move.
Well, they're also upset that, I mean, didn't we have the report that they got really angry about that they're not returning phone calls?
Right. Well, which take side that up did that come chicklets. From? Like, who cares?
But which side did that come from?
I don't know.
You think the Bruins put out a leak that they're not returning phone calls?
Probably not.
Okay, so it came from the player.
I would think so, yes.
Okay, so it's already gotten dirty pool. There, how layers of the dirtiness, press conference. I also do think part of this is Cam Neely being an ex-player and a hothead. A guy that you can push him past a line, and when he snaps, he's going to go off.
Fine.
And I kind of like that in executives, because it takes the businessmen out of them and brings it back to the competitor.
I like it until your goalie walks away, you know, until your goalie's demanding a trade, and all of a sudden you're stuck with Corposalo because he decided to be a big, tough competitor, you know, all of a sudden right now with the guy who's pretty important to you, and by the way, has all the leverage, and who I don't think you can really afford to let walk, which I think you disagree with.
Well, I'm being swayed by, and I don't think I agree with it, but Razor continues to kind of say, you know, they'll be okay without Swayman. You know, it's hard to trade a goalie because everybody feels like they have three goalies that can play right now. I'm sorry. If you put a guy who's in the top five pay structure on the market, there should be interest, correct?
Yes.
Like, my example was...
I think there is interest.
Okay, and maybe there is, but Razor says it can be hard to trade him. Oh, and the cap, too. Well, no. Can I trade for a player of equal value? If he's so good as a goalie, if he's a true, young, hasn't even started the prime of his career franchise goalie, shouldn't teams be lining up to get him? Don't we always say when you go into the postseason, the first thing you need is a great goalie?
Yeah.
And he's a great goalie, right?
Definitely. But he's a restricted free agent. The Bruins still...
No.
But yes, I
don't give a rat's ass about that. If I'm a team and I just see a guy who is a supposed entering the prime of his career franchise goalie, I've been told forever, cliche alert, that's the most important thing in the Stanley Cup playoffs is a goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree.
So a star goalie, I don't care when he's available, teams should wonder how they can figure it out to acquire him, correct?
Yes.
Financially, roster, the whole damn thing.
Absolutely.
So is that what he is? Is that?
I think so, yeah.
So why is it hard to trade him?
I don't know if it's hard to trade him. We'll see. We'll see if it ends up being hard to trade him. This just happened yesterday. I don't know when the offers are going to start pouring in. I don't know when this whole thing's going to come to that breaking point. I doubt it's that hard to trade. They traded Linus Allmark. They can trade Jeremy Swayman. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't think it's going to be that difficult to
do. But you've got
to
hand Swayman a contract.
Sure.
Like, a big one. Maybe a market-setting contract.
Yeah, sign and trade. Well,
$10 million a year.
Trade it away, who cares? you know?
No.
If there's other teams out there,
but the other team has to pay it. The
right.
other team has to be on the hook for $70, $80 million long-term. Has to believe in the player. And maybe you're right. Maybe there will be teams that will line up. Maybe the general consensus around the league is this is going to be the next great thing at goalie. You're going to be making playoff run year after year after year. Why? Because you have Swayman. He's that damn good. Or maybe he's a guy that's never proven a damn thing and is a good young goalie who doesn't have the trophies, any trophies, right? Any trophies that you would put on a resume.
Any trophies, man.
Right? Cups, trophies, things of that nature that would be valuable. He doesn't have them.
But a lot of goalies in the NHL don't have any of those things either.
Are they asking for $10 million a year?
No, but he's better than them and should get paid more than
them. But he's the one asking for $10 million a year without those trophies.
Right, he's better than these other guys who don't
have that either.
Without the
trophies. Yes. So he's not like them without the trophies. He's different than those guys without trophies. He's a much better goalie without trophies.
And even trading Ullmark, he at least won a Vezina, and he only makes $5 million a year. It's much easier to trade a goalie like that. He's tied for 15th in terms of AAV among goalies.
Swayman's
trying to be a top 4 or 5 goalie in terms of AAV.
$10 million goalie who's never proven anything. Right? He's never even been the guy.
Ullmark's resume is better than Swayman's, other than playoff wins.
And it's not his fault.
Well, yeah, that's a big one.
They tried to make him the guy last year, and it didn't come to fruition because of Ullmark's no movement and that whole thing.
Right.
They tried
to Swayman was a top 10 goalie in the league last year, top 5 by some metrics. It's not like he was some middle-of-the-road scrub. He was one of the better goalies in the league most of the year.
Sure, metrics.
So that means something. I mean, that matters if you're 25
PFF
years old.
PFF would trade for him.
And you're talking
about,
no, it's not metrics. It's actual data. I mean, he was a good goalie.
Aren't you looking to win?
Absolutely.
And that has value.
Right.
Okay.
Is Jeremy Swayman.
He has never shouldered the load.
That's not his fault. That's not his fault they put Ullmark in the playoffs. And
I didn't say it was his fault. I'm just saying he's never done it.
Players. But that's
you're
on the Bruins.
For him
that's
to
not
do
on
something
Jeremy Swayman.
He's never done.
Right.
Right.
But it's not his fault he's never done it.
I like when we reach the point where we just say right and right to each other.
Sure.
We can move on.
I agree.
We're pitching hour
that's
early.
Fine. I think that that's the Bruins' fault. I don't think that's Jeremy Swayman's fault.
Do you get a cut if he gets a deal?
I do not.
It feels like it.
Sounds like you get a cut of the money they save.
I'm happy to take that, Cam. Team Bruins, baby. I'm on your side.
I just hate the idea that they were negotiating. It was a sort of fierce negotiation here, and then Cam Neely comes out with the final offer yesterday in the middle of a press conference. Can you at the very least admit that that's pretty unprofessional? Like, I think that's pretty
reasonable. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. Now, I also don't think it's great to put out a release. If the reports are accurate, and it's 7.8 was the offer, not 8, we all do that. Do you not do that?
Like, of course, I
round up and just throw numbers out there.
I'm a big time rounder upper.
If you're angry,
but this is not. I mean, that was a press conference, and that's
I don't think he should have done
that's
it.
News that he was breaking. There.
He was pissy in that press conference throughout. There were various points where he made it quite clear, and he has reason to be. Correct?
Yes.
I think he thought this was done. He's probably also realizing we kind of screwed a pooch here, right? We kind of gave away our leverage. We tried to give it away last year, and that's the other thing. They've shown appreciation or investment in Swayman by trying to trade Ullmark and then actually trading Ullmark, right? Like, that's a form of appreciation. We think you're the guy we want to build around. You both want to play 55. You both can't play 55. You're the guy we picked, right? So they haven't invested where he wants them to invest, which is significant dollar figures.
Right.
But they are invested in him. They've shown him they want him to be their franchise goalie. They've made that clear, probably to their own negotiation detriment, correct?
I would say so.
Yeah.
But that's fine to say it and be like, hey, we really want you. Hey, we traded the other guy. Hey, listen, Jeremy, you're our guy, but we're not going to pay you the money you want. I mean, what the hell's the difference? Like, all that stuff's great. That's how John Henry used to try and do business. Come on, John Lester. Like, I know we're not going to pay you what you want, but you mean so much to us here in Boston and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no one cares about that. Agents don't care about that. Players don't care about that. And Jeremy Swayman already has a not great relationship with this team based on the way they treated him in arbitration. This could have been make good for them. They could have completely mended this whole thing, but they're digging in and they're continuing to play hardball. And if I'm Jeremy Swayman, I'm tired of it. I am. I'd ask for a trade today. Even if they do come up to the 8 and that's what he wanted all this time, he was just waiting for $8 million. I would say at this point, this is too much. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Get me out of here. I want a fresh start somewhere else as I enter my prime, not some combative GM and president of hockey operations here who's going to bust my balls every 5 minutes. No thanks.
Yeah, I actually think if Sweeney and Swayman were involved, maybe we have reached that point. Actually, I don't know who's more. It's hard to tell where Swayman is emotionally. I think his agent is pissed.
Yeah.
And so maybe if it was Neely and the agent, maybe that trade would happen immediately. I think Sweeney is a little bit more of a voice of reason and is like, whoa, he's talking more like us. Wait, if it's 8.5 and 7.8, I feel like we can figure this out.
Right.
If you guys will stop being babies and stop leaking whatever you can leak to make each other look bad in the media. We don't know where Swayman is right now. We don't know where his mentality is. Again, he told us he was going to take a business-like mentality.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to get emotional.
Right.
It was going to be about numbers and CBAs and caps and where it was going and the next generation of goalies and all those things.
So giving them a break, wouldn't that be emotional then? Like, isn't that exactly what you're saying? Like, if he's a business guy and he's giving them a little hometown discount, well, that's being emotional. That's not being business.
But what's a hometown discount? We get back to value.
Under $8 million, I'd say his value is probably more than... I'd say his value at 8.5 is probably right.
8.5
to 9,
who decides that?
There.
Like, that's the
As
problem.
As a top five goalie turning 25 or maybe turning 26, whatever he is, a top five goalie in the NHL, 8.5, 9, I mean, the top guys make 10 and 10 and a quarter, and the salary cap's going up. So I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah, I am not sure. I think it's a little, I think it's fair. If it's 8 million in the 8 millions, and then we also have to layer in here the salary cap.
Right.
And where the, it's 8.6 is the absolute can't go any higher. That's like, that's the number they have. But they also know that. I also think if you're an agent and the team says, well, we really only have 8.6, well, I'll say, okay, I'll take it. It's like if somebody, you're selling a car,
right,
and they show up with cash and they go like this and they show you what they have, you're not taking less than what they have, right? You take what they have. But if a guy shows you he's got $15,000 in his hand and he goes, I'll give you 11. No, I want the 15. I know you have 15 right there that you can hand me literally right now. So you're looking for the top of the amount they have.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll go to calls early in the first segment here because we are going to talk to Ross Tucker in a bit. So let's go ahead and take some calls on this Bruins story here. Jeremy Swayman and the team at a real standoff right now. Let's start with Mike in the car. He's been waiting. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's up, boys? How you doing?
What's up? Good.
Hey, I'm first off, real quick, I'm loving the new show. I think you guys are really great together. Hart, you know, I listen to you whenever you're on, so I appreciate the new show. But the thing with Swayman, and, you know, everybody keeps saying that Swayman has leverage. Swayman has all the leverage. Well, here's the thing that no one really seems to talk about. He's a restricted free agent that declined arbitration, as did the team, which means any team in the NHL can make him an offer, and the Bruins have right of first refusal. So if he's worth all of this money and he's such a great franchise quarterback, how come no other team, knowing the Bruins only have 8.6, has come in and offered him 8.7, 9? No other team has made an offer at this point. So maybe the Bruins actually do know what they're talking about here.
Maybe they do. Franchise quarterback, I know what you meant. But the thing I would say to that is he's made it clear, and Elliot Friedman reported, that he told Boston he wants to stay here. He wants to be in Boston and that he wants to sign a long-term contract here. So he's been negotiating that and working on that. And I think that there was maybe some bumps in the road, obviously, but it came to a head yesterday. Whatever happens from now on, I think, is going to really give you an idea. Offers that are made, we're not going to know the nature of them unless he accepts one of them, or a trade gets made or something along those lines. It's he can talk to other teams and they can offer him things, but you know the Bruins do get the first right. So I think that whatever happens here, you're going to see it pretty quickly. And I heard Razor today, he said, the teams are all happy with their goalies. I don't know about that. I think that there's probably some teams down at the bottom of the standings who look at someone like Jeremy Swayman and think, we can trade for him. Let's get him in here and let's see what that does. Let's see if that makes a difference. And not just that, there's teams like the Penguins who don't have good goalies who, you know, are in the playoff mix every year. And they sort of make it work and they bring guys up and they probably look at someone like Jeremy Swayman and think, this could stabilize that position for us for a long time.
John Henry going to pay for that?
I don't know about John Henry paying for it. That does present a problem. But you know what I mean? Like, I think there's going to be interest in him. I guess we'll see. Anthony is in Worcester before the break. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
You know, first off, I'm really curious. I know you're so pro Swayman and everything, but has nobody mentioned anything about this guy's agent and how this is literally something that he does as a tactic? Take a look at Nylander, how long that took into the season. And then, furthermore, he played like crap for the first half, for the first half that he actually played that season, and probably cost them a couple of wins and standings in that game.
Well, they should have paid him then, what? Anthony. What do you want from me? Like, they should have paid Nylander.
That contract?
Yes. I mean, or listen, cut him loose or traded him or done something. Fine, it's not the agent's fault. He's trying to get the best deal for his client. That's what agents do.
Yeah, right. I don't actually.
But you're also over there assuming that the agent told Swayman about the 64 or the 62.6, whatever it came up with. And for Sweeney and them to come out and say what they said, I mean, first of all, before that, did you ever hear Don Sweeney come out and talk about the Spitting Up on Yourself podcast? Obviously, something rubbed them the wrong way that they wanted to come out and change the narrative because, again, 99 times out of 100, most of the time, the organizations don't say anything about the slander that goes on out there. And anything that the Chicklets had most likely came from the ear of Swayman or somebody close to his camp. So kudos to them for actually coming out and defending themselves.
Yeah, I guess, Anthony, if you think the Bruins don't leak stuff to the media, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they've been doing that for decades and decades before Neely was there, since Neely's been there in the Sweeney era before that.
But it's not
all the different coaches. It's like, I mean,
everybody.
It's the organization. It's every team in the history of the world. It's professional sports. This is the way it works. You may not like, I mean, you may not like spitting Chicklets. Like, fine, that's your call. But, you know, that's an outlet with a big audience, and they decided to get out ahead of this. They knew where it was going. They knew that the Bruins were being stubborn a-holes about it, and they wanted to get part of their thing out there, I think.
Getting personal.
You don't think they're being stubborn a-holes right now?
I think both sides are being stubborn a-holes because that's what a negotiation often turns into. You don't think Swayman's being a stubborn a-hole and his agent's being a stubborn a-hole?
When Swayman went on that podcast, I was like, all right, this is... I still had his back, but I was like, this is something.
Hasn't it kind of done, like, back and forth?
Yeah,
like, you know those things you pull on the strings and the little guy climbs the string?
Yeah.
That's what this does, has been in an escalation of getting more and more personal as each sort of bomb is thrown, and the bombs have gotten a little bigger.
It's true.
Now,
all right.
Do they hate each other? I don't know.
I think they probably do. We're going to take a quick break right now. Brian Frazocco is going to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we'll talk with Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by 99 Restaurants. Week 4 of the NFL season wrapped up last night with a Monday night doubleheader. The Tennessee Titans blew out the Miami Dolphins 31-12 down in Miami, and the Detroit Lions defeated the Seattle Seahawks 42-29. Lions quarterback Jared Goff did not throw a single incompletion in the win. At yesterday's Boston Bruins press conference, Bruins president Cam Neely insinuated that the Bruins offered goaltender Jeremy Swayman a $64 million contract. Swayman's agent Louis Gross released a statement saying, quote, prior to the press conference, no offer was made reaching that level. Bruins preseason continues tonight as they host the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop of that game is at TD Garden. It will be at 7 o'clock. Patriots are off today, but will return to the practice field tomorrow ahead of their Week 5 matchup against the 1-3 Miami Dolphins this Sunday at 1 o'clock. That game will be at Gillette. Playoff baseball begins today in the MLB. 4 wildcard games are scheduled. Detroit Tigers will visit the Houston Astros with first pitch of that game being at 2:32. The Kansas City Royals will be in Baltimore to face off the Orioles at 4:08, then to the NL, where the Mets will be in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. That game starts at 5:32, and the Braves will be in San Diego to face the Padres. First pitch is at 8:38. And finally, sad news out of the baseball world is MLB's all-time hits leader, Pete Rose, passed away yesterday at the age of 83. Rose was a 3-time World Series champion. You've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. 4 hearty size, full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You gotta love the nines. I'm Brian Frazocco. That's what's trending on WEI and on WEI.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Yes, yes, yes. An ugly loss for the Patriots on Sunday in San Francisco. It's Christian Arcan. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons. We'll be joined by Ross Tucker here in just a minute. Looking forward to getting his take on what was an ugly week for the Patriots. Interesting week around the NFL. Certainly capped off by a big output of scoring from the Tennessee Titans last night, which a lot of people weren't expecting. The Dolphins with no quarterback were favored in that game last night, and the Titans really smacked them around. They're in trouble. Also, there's the little matter of the Seattle Seahawks, who definitely ran into a problem they couldn't solve with the Detroit Lions last night. Any takeaways from Monday Night Football that are relevant to what we're talking about here?
I mean, the simplest of them, the Dolphins are very beatable. Mm. The Dolphins' offense is worse than you. They don't have a quarterback. I didn't watch a ton of that game, but there was one play where Tyreek Hill toasted Snead down the left sideline, yep, and Huntley underthrew it by probably 10 yards so that Snead just broke it up. A capable quarterback, or hell, you would have just lofted the ball up as far as you could throw it and say, Hill, go run under it. Mm-hmm. They are, McDaniel does not look like an offensive genius right now. He's not doing the Alex Van Pelt thing from last year where I can take five quarterbacks and win with any of them. He's proving that they stink without Tua. And they're setting record numbers for inefficiency to open a season.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're up next, baby!
That's true. We'll see if they're up with the quarterback combo that played last night. I'd be surprised if they stick with that. Mike McDaniel said after the game, he's like, yeah, there could be some changes coming here. I think they got to get some changes going quickly and get someone in there who can deliver the ball, whether it's an old veteran or trading for another backup somewhere.
Tom Brady!
That would be choice number one, obviously.
It's funny how all these QB whispering offensive genius guys often get exposed when their quarterback gets hurt.
It's true.
Well, how much of a genius are you if you need the quarterback?
I mean, you know, that's a good point. And I do think that there are a bunch of backup quarterbacks who aren't very good. Although Mason Rudolph, who I consider to be one of those guys, came in and was good for them last night. And how about Jared Goff with a perfect throwing night? That was,
but not a perfect passer rating.
No, somehow. 18 of 18 Stupid. For 200 and whatever it was yards, a couple touchdowns, and not quite.
Yeah, it was like 150.
Not quite the perfect.
5-8, not 158-3. But he also caught a touchdown pass. And I continue to marvel a little bit at the relationship between Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. Hmm. It's like there's a little bit of an odd couple thing there.
Yeah.
Like one's the ultimate hardo bite your ass cheek and your kneecap, and Goff seems kind of quiet and timid and yet somehow together they're
shy,
making,
like, yeah, right.
And they're in Detroit where Barry Sanders and Megatron couldn't make a winner, mm-hmm, but Jared Goff and Dan Campbell have somehow created a winner.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Looks like it. I mean, Matthew Stafford didn't have a terrible time there. Like Stafford,
no,
and
but
Johnson,
he never,
they were nine,
they weren't
nine,
Super Bowl contenders. They're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They were last winter, and they're going to be again.
Yeah, Detroit, I 100% agree. I think that they were sort of one of those sexy Super Bowl picks at the beginning of the year, and I think that's just going to keep on getting stronger. I didn't think that Seattle was going to go 17-0 or anything like that, but I was surprised to see them get slapped around like how they did. It's a good defense. That's a good team, and Detroit handled them. Detroit ran them off the field.
You also saw the Patriots were quite fortunate that Kenneth Walker was out for the game at Gillette, because Kenneth Walker is a really good player.
Yes.
Kenneth Walker could have changed that even more.
Yeah, he probably could have. All right, joining us right now on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. Mr. Tucker, how are we doing today?
I am doing fantastic. I finally just got home after 5 days away, called a couple games, finally back home for a couple days.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, the Patriots had an awful game on Sunday. I don't even really want to talk about it, so let's talk about you a little bit here. You are a big beer guy, am I right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, what were we drinking this past weekend?
Well, so I was first in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
For Browns Raiders, and we were staying at a nice hotel, so I had some Dirty Dog IPAs, which I guess is I try to drink local IPAs as much as I can. So if I'm up there, I'm either drinking Vitamin C or I'm drinking Treehouse.
Mm.
Like I'll do a UConn game in a couple weeks from now. I will order Treehouse and drive an hour from Hartford up to Worcester after the game to go get, or near Worcester, whatever it's called, wherever that town is, Sturbridge maybe,
yeah,
to get some Treehouse. That was Friday night, and then my wife and I went to a show, and they had, like, Modelo. So I usually start with, like, a couple hammers, like a couple IPAs, and then I'll go to maybe, like, a Labatt Blue Light or a Mexican Lager,
yeah,
and then... What did I have Saturday? I only had two because I was doing the game the next day. But
right.
They had, I don't know. I was at Circa. Had dinner with my wife at Circa, and they had this delicious IPA. So, yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. My beers this weekend, way, way better than the Patriots.
Well, how much beer is it going to take to get through this season, Ross? Because I'm starting to why. It's like this is, after that first game, it seemed like maybe there was something here. Now it seems like they're the worst team in the league. Would you agree that they're down at the bottom at this point?
No, not until the battle for the basement on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
So it all comes down to this. The Dolphins, the Tua-less Dolphins against the Patriots, because I did the Titans-Dolphins game last night. Thank goodness they paid me for that because that was brutal.
Tough one.
Everybody's on Twitter, this is the best game ever, the Lions and the Seahawks. Oh, my gosh, you see that play? And Kenneth Walker and I'm like, meanwhile, I'm watching Mason Rudolph and Tyler Huntley in a field goal fest.
You got to see the Wildcat at least. That was exciting.
I guess. I mean, Nick Folk, your guy Nick Folk had five field goals. Three of them were over 50 yards. Somehow the Titans scored. I mean, there was literally, this has never happened to me before. There was a play. So Tyler Huntley got intentional grounding in the end zone. So it was a safety. So the Dolphins are losing. So they say, we want to do an onside kick with our free kick. So I guess I always thought on a free kick, you could either, you know, just punt it or you could kick it like a field goal or like, you know, kick it like a normal kickoff. I thought you had the choice. Well, they have their punter come out, but then they say they want it to be an onside kick. And he punts the ball like sky high. For some reason, the Titans returner doesn't catch it.
Right.
And so the Dolphins get the ball. And the Titans special teams coordinator is going crazy, yelling at his guy, like, why didn't you catch it? Meanwhile, evidently you're not allowed to do that because it's outside of the onside kick zone. Because now that they have that other kickoff rule, dynamic kickoff, they even have zones for where you can and can't kick the onside kick. Literally, the Titans special teams coordinator had no idea. Neither did I. I didn't even pretend. I'm like, listen, I need Gene Steratore. I need somebody. I have no idea what's going on right now.
Honesty is the best route in those situations. Ross, what is the worst offensive line you've ever seen? And tell me why that group was better than the Patriots.
I don't know, man. I was on some bad offensive lines. I mean, like, in 2002... with the Dallas Cowboys, I started the last seven games at left guard, and I graded out the highest in six of those seven games,
right,
which tells you guys we were really, really bad. I mean, really, really bad. I remember Mark Schlereth went on ESPN and said we had the worst O-line in the league, and then I went to the Super Bowl and saw him at the airport. I was like, worst in the league, guys. Like, yeah.
Yep.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, watching the Patriots, they're like the antithesis of what they always were, what we think they're supposed to be. I don't know how to describe it, but, like, Ramondre Stevenson fumbling every week. They're allowing all these bombs over their head. What is going on? Like, if they're going to have any chance to be competitive, they're checking off the list of things that you just can't do and still be competitive. You can't fumble and throw picks, and you can't let, like, every guy. Ayuk had one. Juwan Jennings had one. Debo had one. It's bad. So here's my two questions, and I mean this all sincerity, because I know you guys take calls. I love getting the pulse. Everybody knew the team would be bad. Mm-hmm. You're bad. Everybody knew that was going to be the case. So I guess question one is, what's, like, the reaction after these games? Do people care? Do they not? Is it like, because they always say, like, apathy is worse than actually, you know, being angry.
Angry, right, is fine.
Yeah, no, they there is still – so I host the Six Rings post-game show. We get calls. We get passion. But it's mostly focused on everybody wants to see Drake May. Like, that's sort of the talking
point. That's what everyone says at the end of these games. Where's Drake May? Is unwatchable, this offense.
That's the narrative.
Yeah,
and I think – we talked about this before, but it's just, to me, an incredible indictment of so many people that they don't have him out there yet or don't feel comfortable with it yet. I mean, start with the North Carolina coaches, then you go to Drake May himself, then you can go to anybody involved with Patriots offensive line drafting or personnel over the last 2 or 3 years. Then you can go to this year's offensive line coach. I mean, it's really bad, right? On some level, my former teammate, who I love, Alex Van Pelt, because I mean, at some point, he's got to get out there. I mean, the only reason why I wouldn't put him out there is if you feel like he can't reasonably protect himself, which is, I guess, what they think. They just don't want to put him in those situations. But we said this last time, and I haven't heard someone give me a good answer for it. At what point are we going to press the magic button where the offensive line's a lot better and then it's okay for him to go in? Like, I mean, Matt Light's not walking through that door, okay?
Ross Tucker's not walking through that door.
No, he's not, because he's got to call the game instead.
Logan Mankins, he ain't coming, right? So I don't know how they're going to magically, like Lucky Charms, magically delicious. I don't know how they're going to, like, magically get good all of a sudden, where you're going to be like, okay, it's time to put in Drake May. That to me is the most fascinating thing. I guess it's like a sliding scale of when they think Drake May is ready or readier than he is right now. And then when the offensive line gets a little bit more settled, whatever that means. I mean, it also feels like they lose an offensive lineman or two every game. So, like, how are they going to get settled if it continues to be like musical chairs?
That's a great question. We're talking with Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, before we let you go, it's the battle for the basement this weekend. Can the Patriots beat this Dolphins team?
Yes, they can.
Will they?
I don't know if they will, because I would expect Huntley to be the quarterback again. I mean, he's only been there for 2 weeks. I mean, he's been there for a lot less time than Drake May's been in New England. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. They just got him off the Ravens practice squad like 10 days ago, and he started last night. So I think he'll be a little bit better. And I think they've got certainly more talent than the Patriots do everywhere else. But they're in a bad way, short week. I don't know. I think that's a very much a toss-up game. Honest question. What percentage of Patriots fans want to win that game versus which ones are already calling you guys and saying, I'd rather just lose to get a higher pick?
I would say that's the majority, honestly. I don't know what the split is, if it's 55,
unless
40,
May
whatever.
Plays, they want May to do well. If he goes in and plays, they
probably... Yeah, but you can do well and still lose and get a top three pick, so you can get him a left tackle or a wide receiver. Travis Hunter looks pretty good in Patriots uniform right now.
Oh, he certainly would. All right, Ross Tucker, thanks so much.
I think I told you guys this last week or 2 weeks ago, but when I did that Colorado State game, there's only three scouts there, and two of them are Patriots guys.
Yes, right. And we're hoping that means what I want it to mean. I'm a Colorado guy, so I want Shador
and
Hunter.
What you should do? You should draft him, and you should honestly play him both ways.
That's what I say.
Have him be a starting corner, and then give him a package as a receiver. Because these people that say, well, he can't play both ways in the NFL, I understand that, and I get the logic. My only counter to that would be, let's just say the Patriots did draft him, okay? Mm-hmm. And they want to have two awesome corners, and they put them opposite Gonzalez. Are you really not going to put him out there when it's 3rd and 8, and he might be your best receiver? Is he just going to be chilling on the sidelines, like, you know, drinking a water when it's 3rd and 8 late in the game, and he might be better than all the other receivers you have? That's tough.
It is. Ross, I hope we're talking about that next year. I hope that that's our number one. When we're doing this interview, I hope that's the number one topic. How come Travis Hunter's not playing on both sides of the ball? From your lips to God's ears. Ross, thanks so much.
Sounds good to me, man. Sounds good.
Thanks, Ross.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports. Thanks so much. That was Ross Tucker, Odyssey Insider. And the calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, Bill Watch. Bill Watch.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Right. Well, Pat, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what the plan is, so I don't know. I can't comment on that. If Mayo says he's got a plan, then I guess he's got one, and we'll have to wait to see what it is. We'll see. We'll see what the plan is. I have no idea what it is.
Bill Belichick with Pat McAfee yesterday. We played that for you yesterday, and we're playing it again today because Week 4 is in the books. We're a quarter of the way through the season, which means a little Bill Watch. A little Bill Watch. There we go.
Bill Watch.
I'd like to reiterate that we worked extremely hard on that piece of production.
You were there for like an hour, right? An hour and a half?
Hours in the studio, doing the take over and over again until we got it perfect. Until we got it perfectly right, which you just heard right there.
It's in my top 5, I think, pieces of audio that we air on this station.
Gotta be right.
Swinging a Pop-Up is up there.
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
That's up there.
And Bill Watch. How's the Bill Watch looking? There are only one team left that is yet to record a win. That is the Jacksonville Jaguars at 0-4. Have they shot up to the top of the Bill Watch?
In your world, I believe they do. In my world, no, because I don't think he wants any of that mess. I think that's a mess on an organizational level. Now you're stuck with Trevor Lawrence. So unless he's a closet Trevor Lawrence lover who's like, yeah, I want that guy, even though he's making a bazillion dollars, I want to be stuck with him. I mean, he lived that life, and he got out of it quite nicely with Drew Bledsoe with a $100 million deal.
True.
I don't know if he wants to start a shorter run in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence's contract and that whole
issue. Get rid of him and bring in Mac. Bill and Mac reunited again.
No, that makes no sense. So
that'd be nice.
The top of my list, and this is a team that lost an ugly game, is 2-2, has a quarterback who seems to make it quite clear, as Tom Jackson once did, he hates his coach, Robert Saleh.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, the questions, Saleh saying they got to stop with the long counts and screwing around with the snap counts, and Aaron Rodgers like, I don't know. That's one option. Or maybe we could hold people accountable and say we're professionals and say don't jump off sides, don't false start.
Right.
Because we've used it and we can use it successfully. The New York Football Jets, it's always been my dream. I don't have a lot of dreams left in life. I'm at middle age. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You run out of dreams. I don't have a lot of dreams left. But one of my dreams is to see Bill Belichick coaching the New York Football Jets. at Gillette Stadium. Robert Kraft up in the booth. Maybe we'll get one of those Clemens Duquette stare downs from Belichick, yeah, staring up at the owner box. Whatever.
Growling at him.
My dream is alive. I'm putting the Jets number one on Bill Watch.
All right. Very good. The Jets, I'd say, would be right up there. I think the Dallas Cowboys at 2-2 are still up there, even though they won this past week. I still consider them very much, especially if they're looking up at the Commanders all year. You know that's not going to sit well with Jerry. I'd have them there as well. I'll throw another one in the ring. How about the Las Vegas Raiders? Some dysfunction happening there right now.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, big time.
There's a shock.
There's Antonio
Pierce. You make
Pierce.
A middle linebacker the coach and things don't go well?
Well, who would ever do that? Who would ever make a linebacker a head coach? What a crazy idea. But
Texans,
it seemed like,
actually.
I thought last year that he got a pretty good, he got something out of those guys. They won five games. That's more than Belichick's Patriots
they
won. They hated Josh, and now it's
my guy,
like
I love
maybe,
you mean it, Josh, but your team hated you in Vegas.
Yeah.
We saw that in the receiver documentary with Davante Adams, who might not be a Raider for long. So
yeah, it doesn't seem like Davante Adams likes the new guy too much either. Same with Max Crosby. I think he sat last week. Pierce made a whole big show about benching guys and business decisions and all that. I think there's maybe something there. So I'd add them to the list as well.
Can I add one?
Absolutely.
It's one that a lot of people have talked about. We stick in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the whole NFC East might be an option. My guy Dabes, kind of hope you get fired because I want you to come here and be with Drake May for the next 5 years.
Okay.
But I'd also add the Philadelphia Eagles are a debacle.
Definitely.
They are a debacle, and it seems like the coach is a bit of a dink. Like, I was right
the
on
Buccaneers
him.
The Buccaneers pants them last
absolutely
week.
Absolutely pantsed them.
Yeah.
I thought Sirianni was a dink, and then he went to the Super Bowl, and I'm like, he took a team to a Super Bowl. Do I have to say he's not a dink? He's a dink, and they need to bring in Bill. I think if you bring in Bill, you can salvage your season and win a Super Bowl right now as the Eagles. If you're Jeffrey Lurie, he doesn't still have a place up here, does he?
I don't know.
He's a Brookline guy.
Right.
Or one of those.
I don't know if he's still got
a place.
Driving
around,
does. They got places everywhere.
Yeah. If you're driving around the Cape, if you're driving around Brookline and you hear us, I would advise you to can Sirianni bring in Bill right now, because I also think shouldn't there be a little bit of a race for these owners?
Sure.
Like, I don't want to bid against other people in the offseason.
If I thought there was a big demand for Bill Belichick, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. But I'm not sure there is.
Then why are we doing a Bill Watch?
Because this is maybe, like, I don't know if there's going to be fighting and clawing each other, like a big rush to go sign him. Maybe someone will sign him because he's the number one guy that's out there right now. But I don't know that it's going to be like teams, a big bidding war.
Isn't it possible that Saleh and Sirianni and Dable and McCarthy all are legitimate, and Doug Peterson, five, all legit. One of the guys you're going to have to sit down in your boardroom after you fire your guys, and somebody's going to say, should we go after Belichick? Right? Like, so if you're going to consider it now, because then Bill's going to say, well, I'm interviewing in Philly next week, and then I'm interviewing in Dallas. No, cut to the front of the line and get him now if you want him. And you're big on not wasting a rookie season.
Yes.
Don't waste a season. Some of those teams have Super Bowl aspirations. They have talent, right?
Yes.
Eagles?
Eagles definitely do.
How about Cowboys?
I think the Cowboys do,
okay.
too.
Those are teams that could contend.
I think the Bengals even do. I mean, that's another team that's on there.
I think he should be on there, too.
He should be.
I'm not a fan of that guy. Another guy. Just because you go to a Super Bowl, I've learned, doesn't mean you're a good coach.
No, and that shine can wear off very quickly. It's a Super Bowl hangover. It happens every year, it seems like. It's definitely happening with the Eagles. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Patriots, their quarterback situation. Jacoby Brissett, very candid with us yesterday. We'll revisit his comments, and the Patriots have bottomed out in just about all the power rankings you see online. We'll get to all that with your phone calls next.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.